Well, hey there. It's Brian of London here, and it's late at night, which is not normally my best time for doing this kind of thing, but I wanted to do something in a bit of depth, and I think this might take me a while because last weekend we got hold of an 18-minute Danish TV program. And this was a mainstream Danish TV program about Tommy Robinson and Facebook. And the reason this mattered to me is that I've been around Tommy Robinson since pretty early on in his career. And of course, by the time his Facebook page was removed back in February, I was directly involved in that, and that I was running part of that page. And so my Facebook page was deleted at the same time. And this Danish TV program represents the very first time that any journalist anywhere in the world from a mainstream outlet has actually asked Facebook some detailed questions about what they did and why they did it. I'll show some of the start of this program, but the main thing I'm going to be working from is this transcript. And the transcript is courtesy of Gates of Vienna and Vlad Tepes. Tepes and his translator, who is from the Danish Free Press Association or Society. And I want to say something about Denmark. Denmark's an important country. I've been doing this counter jihad thing a very, very long time. Denmark, of course, in terms of counter jihad, what are they known for? Well, they're known for the Danish cartoons. Yes. Jyllands-Posten, which gets mentioned in this program actually, published some cartoons that made fun of Muhammad, and it erupted into a worldwide storm. Denmark prides itself on having freedom of speech. And so that's the context in which I believe that this journalist went out to do a very, very good job. That journalist is Lotte Falk, and I am very impressed with the questions she asked. So that's her. Let's jump to the transcript. Now, she starts with an introduction about Tommy Robinson, and she plays a little clip of Tommy. I'll drop that in now.
Facebook have removed me. I had 1.2 million. I was the most interacted with political Facebook page in Britain. I had a reach and an interaction that politicians could only dream of. If I went live, I'd have 20,000 people watching me instantly. That would then spread to millions by the next day.
And of course, let me just point this out. When the radical right-wing activist Tommy Robinson railed against immigration and Islam, his message once had a wide reach on Facebook. Obviously, this is me, I'm not reading. The EDL back in the day said almost nothing about immigration. Now it talked about Islam, but that's not talking about Muslims. Tommy's said this to death. I say it all the time. Discussing Islam is very different from talking about all Muslims. None of us do that. Tommy especially. So I'll just read some of this. She was narrating, obviously, in Danish. Is our freedom of speech being destroyed? And why are the authorities not reacting? Writes new conservative Lars Bjørn Mathisen in his post in Jylland, in his blog in Jyllands-Posten. Remember, this was the newspaper that kicked off the entire Danish cartoons scandal. The same question is asked by, and what you get from this is that people are starting to ask questions about why Denmark's freedom of speech is being curtailed by Facebook, which is great. But I just want to point this out. One of the people asking the question says, while he, by the way, at the same time, calls Robinson a giant idiot. So they're all still signaling their dislike of Tommy Robinson. She then plays one more clip of Tommy. I'll put that in.
That's why I said it's good to be seen. because I've been completely unpersoned from all social media, even Snapchat, Instagram. And the maddest thing is, I've done nothing wrong. They run with these lies. They keep saying that I promoted violence against Muslims. Show me where. Show me one screenshot that I done.
To the video. Then she turns to Peter Munster, Nordic Communications Chief of Facebook. And this is her question. The guy we just saw here, Tommy Robinson, is he so dangerous that merely mentioning his name makes the world a dangerous place? I'm going to read his answer. Well, for starters, the problem isn't so much mentioning his name. The problem is that he falls under a category that we consider to be a hate preacher. That is, people who use their status in the public sphere to organize hate or to encourage violence against a minority. And we don't permit that. We don't permit the sharing of hate speech or racist attacks, but we don't in general permit people who predominantly have this as a major part of their public work, public profile, to encourage people to something similar. So it is a tough sanction. Okay. Where to start? Again, what Facebook here, you know, 6 months later, what this spokesman is coming up with is years of demonization that's gone on against Tommy and everything he's done or tried to do. I know this to be false, and many, many, many people, you know, because at the time when the page was banned, there were over a million likes and followers. Many, many, many people had watched Tommy's own explanations of his background. They'd read his books. They'd seen his video at the Oxford Union. They'd seen the other video that he did up in Durham, I believe. They'd seen Tommy explain where he was coming from, what his message was. And it's contrary to everything that Facebook spokesman has just said here. So anyway, the journalist, she comes back and she says, that is a tough sanction against him. He's cut off. But what is happening now is that people who just mention Tommy Robinson have their posts removed or get blocked or threatened to be removed from Facebook. How does that work? She's the first journalist to ask this question. We've all known it was going on, those of us who were thrown off Facebook at the time. We've watched and seen numerous people being thrown off Facebook in the months since. Sharing articles from TR.news gets you thrown off Facebook. And it's clear from the speed with which this happens that it is an automated process. There are obviously programs, bots, whatever you call them, what you like, running within the Facebook system that if you type the words Tommy Robinson, they are inclined to block the content. Because what they can't do is they can't have an AI that can work out the next bit. So I'm going to read his answer to this is, well, our rules don't explicitly forbid talking about Tommy Robinson. You are allowed to write that you don't like him. This, or that he's an idiot, as was mentioned in the intro. And that is just astonishing. So they've got a preformed of opinion of the man. They believe that if he speaks, he is so dangerous, his opinions are so dangerous, and that any evidence that he could bring to show people that he isn't what Facebook believe him to be is so persuasive that they must block that. And anybody voicing a positive opinion on this man must be deleted. This is Stalin level unpersoning. I've read about this in books about the Soviet Union. I've read 1984 and The Memory Hole. I don't think we've ever had such a clear and concise explanation of what it is a company like Facebook is able to do. Lotte comes back and says, what does that mean to give representation? As in, she's asking, okay, he then carried on. He said, yes, and that's another question. But for starters, what you aren't allowed to do, according to our rules, is show support or positively promote or in other ways give representation to these hate preachers. So again, he's in this category of hate preacher. I mean, Lord knows, they cannot find any evidence of hate preaching, of literally telling people to go out and murder, because that's never happened. He doesn't do that, didn't do that, won't do that. That's not in his nature. It's not in my nature. But they've put him in this category, and this category obviously includes Muslim hate preachers, but I would suspect that their systems are not as good at spotting Arabic band names as they are as spotting simply Tommy Robinson. So he goes on then, I'm not going to read all of this verbatim, but he goes on to say that the problem, if you don't have this policy in place where you can just be banned for mentioning him positively, is that somebody could come on and say nice things about him, which would go against your designation of him as a hate preacher. So they've just decided. Now, she then brings up, that the presenter then brings up this point, which is, I think, very, very important. I would like to dig a little deeper into what you said was another question. I would like to show you a post our editor made earlier today. He wrote on Facebook, "Tonight, Deadline will do a segment about Tommy Robinson. What is the best article about Tommy Robinson we should read?" After only 9 minutes, the post had been removed. Does it further the understanding about the phenomenon Tommy Robinson and the possibility of discussing the way of thinking that he represents when a post like this is removed? And of course, the Facebook guy just flounders. He's got no real answer. All he comes up with is platitudes about a platform for 2.3 billion people who share lots of things every day, and it's a big job to enforce their rules, and these rules are not always enforced correctly, and they go to great lengths. And if there are errors, and he's covering for the fact that if something's taken down after 9 minutes, it's hard to believe that a human was involved. It's also interesting that 9 minutes sort of indicates that it's in that in-between level, because if it's a computer, it would be quicker. But 9 minutes, it's very hard to know. Do they review? Have they got the capability to review every, manually review every mention of Tommy Robinson, no matter which language it is? Because remember, we're talking about Danish here, which is not exactly one of the world's most widely spoken languages. But of course, Facebook, as we know from some things that Zuckerberg has been saying recently, they've got 30,000 people doing this kind of stuff. Now, I don't know what the breakdown of languages is, how many people they've got that can read Arabic or Danish. Very interesting. But again, first time I've seen a journalist go into this thing. And she does. She comes back and she says, "It looks like all mentions of Tommy Robinson is systematically deleted." And he says it shouldn't be, but they'll keep an eye on it, and it depends on the number of appeals. So we'll skip forward a little bit. And then she comes back. "So when you see this, are you thinking there is a mistake where you are going too far?" And of course, spokesman, he doesn't make the decisions. It's not his role. You know, he's fluffing. Okay, returning to what is it? We return to Tommy Robinson. "You said yourself that you are subjecting him to drastic methods. Is it that you have been subjected to political pressure that both he and the Free Press Society say is being used to persecute him? Why on earth do something so drastic as to remove a whole person instead of just problematic posts?" He's got no answer to this. Now, we know from the UK, from The Guardian, at the time when he was deplatformed, which this is an article from The Guardian at the time that he was deplatformed. There are mentions in this article of, and we'll scroll down to a little bit. Tom Watson, for example, Shadow Secretary of State for Digital Culture, Media and Sports, said, "I welcome Facebook's decision to remove Tommy Robinson's pages under their organized hate policy. But for far too long, this violent thug's hate-spewing anti-Islamist tirades." I thought we were all supposed to be anti-Islamist. Islamist is the political form of Islam that seeks to conquer and rule the world. I didn't know anybody wasn't supposed to be anti-Islamist. Anyway, "were given a platform by Facebook. Today's decision comes far too late. Public interest demands an end to laissez-faire regulation. So Facebook will claim that they didn't do this under any political pressure, but when the, you know, the number two guy at the or the shadow secretary, that's the representative of the UK Labour Party, the official opposition, and you know, they had other quotes. Interestingly, at the time, let's just slip. This was the full Facebook reasons given, and they come up with a lot of fluff. And they say here, Tommy Robinson's Facebook page has repeatedly broken these standards, posting material that uses dehumanizing language and calls for violence targeted at Muslims. Now, at the time, I was one of the administrators on the Facebook page. I had never seen a warning. I had never seen a takedown notice in the time that I was on there. There were a few months where I wasn't an administrator. Perhaps some warnings came then, but I never saw them. For a number of months prior to the deletion of the page, I was an administrator, and if we had received any warnings, I would have seen them. We didn't get any. We had nothing taken down. About the only thing we took down voluntarily was the live stream from outside the trial in Leeds. But as that's been the subject of a court case, it was not classed as hate speech. There was no element of that case. He went to prison, but not for anything that Facebook is accusing him of. And at the time, Facebook presented no evidence to the press. And that'll come up when we go into this, when we carry on with this this transcript a little bit more. So he then denies that it was political pressure, but it's obvious that taking Tommy off Facebook made politicians happy. And it's obvious also that there was not one politician in the House of Commons. There was just Lord Pearson in the House of Lords who expressed any form of horror at what Facebook were doing from a free speech standpoint. Lord Pearson, who is famous actually for being one of the great crusaders against the Soviet Union and the dreadful conditions in the Soviet Union. So it's only natural that he now discusses Islam honestly and is a supporter of Tommy Robinson. So this whole section here, I'm not going to read it all out, but again, let's get on to the question, the next question that Lotta asks. And this is, what do you think that Tommy Robinson has caused? Because, you know, basically there was, actually I should read this bit. Any political opinions they might have, and this is where we start, but then we also have a responsibility to ensure that the platform is safe and that the environment is one where minorities can be persecuted. The environment is not one where minorities can be persecuted, and especially that it doesn't cause people to get attacked on the street, and that is a conflict, and we can't get around that. So just what Facebook ban is saying is that words cause harm. This is this intersectional left-wing dogmatic view now. You know, when we were growing up, when I was growing up, my generation, it was sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's over. Words will attack minorities when they're on a screen if they might see them. And of course, then it's obvious that they will jump from the screen and attack the minorities. When in effect, it's actually tweets by Burger King saying, come and get your milkshakes here, that actually seem to cause action. That's the left. That, you know, the real violence on the streets today is nearly all far left. And this is where we get onto this. This is this unbelievable quote. So I'll read this. This is the next thing that the spokesman says is, yes, Tommy Robinson, as far as we are concerned, belongs in the category of hate preacher. Well, we see him as a person belonging to the same category as Ratko Mladic. Well, people like him, who is a convicted war criminal. He was actually convicted of genocide. The presenter comes back. Tommy Robinson is, despite everything, not. I mean, she's defending Tommy Robinson. I've got the colours wrong here a little bit. Okay, let's see. That should be in green as well. As you can see, I've been working on this a lot. So this out of his head pops a man convicted in The Hague of war crimes and genocide. Whether that's wrong or right or whatever it is, I'm not an expert and I don't really care. But Tommy has never had even a conviction for anything involving hate speech, of which the UK has laws. And believe me, the authorities would love to pin something on him, but they haven't. And there's just no evidence of any of the things that Facebook are alleging. And then this is great. The blue part now is actually the next question from Lotte. Sorry, it's his. It's from Lotte. And she says, and according to The Guardian, it is because Tommy Robinson on Facebook has encouraged the decapitation of Muslims. He says he hasn't done anything. Where can I, as a journalist, find documentation for your allegations against Tommy Robinson? Now, that's very interesting because, yes, the allegation that he called for the decapitation of Muslims doesn't appear in Facebook's direct statement, but it does appear in this Guardian article. Where is decapitation? Yeah, here, it's the bit I've. The warning has been issued for breaches that included a post calling on people to terrorize and behead those who follow the Quran, a post calling on people to make war on Muslims, and multiple videos showing people being bullied. That Tommy never made those posts. I was running the Facebook page. I never made those posts either. We obviously never said to behead those who follow the Quran. Now, there might have been posts that said the Quran calls on Muslims to behead infidels, that it does in a number of places, strike at their necks. But how it got twisted into this, I don't know. And once again, at the time, Facebook never presented evidence. And so, once again, Lotte, the Danish journalist, a real journalist, has asked a proper question. Where can she see the documentation? And his answer, I'll read it. Yeah, well, there isn't one particular post where we can say that this is the post. Yet, back at the time, there were specific posts, but you didn't show them. You didn't show screenshots. And had you shown those screenshots, he would have been liable under British law, I suspect, and they would have prosecuted him. But because he never said those things and he never posted those things, he was not prosecuted. Anyway, back to the script. Well, this is, as I said, of course, a drastic step, but we made the decision based on a number of different signals. I mean, what are people doing when they're not on Facebook? What are they doing in all sorts of other places? What sort of demonstrations are they helping to arrange? And who are the key persons in that environment? And what do they stand for? So it is nuanced. It is a serious evaluation made on a case-by-case basis. So what he's saying here is this actually goes well beyond Facebook's terms and conditions of what you're allowed to do on their site. They're looking, just like Patreon have said in the past, and others of these social media Goliaths have said, they are now looking at your total life, everything that you do in your life. And if they don't like it, or if they're told not to like it, or if they believe allegations against you that are unproven, they will chuck you off their platforms, their so-called platforms, which are, that's their right, private companies. But the point here is the unaccountability. And once again, Lotta's back on this. And where can I, as a journalist, check the documentation for your allegations? You can't, Lotta. That's correct. You nailed him on this. You cannot. He goes on and says, well, you can't yet. It is not because it is something I can sit here and promise you will be able to do at some particular point in time. But if you look at what happened with us in recent years, we've become much more transparent. What he's saying, Facebook man, is that all of the sins of Facebook, Cambridge Analytica, the perceived sin of helping somehow Donald Trump be elected or Brexit happen. Those are sins which they have scapegoated onto Tommy Robinson. He was an action, a single action they could take in the UK that perhaps made them absolve their guilt. Forgive me, Father, for I have given you Brexit. That's the implication I read from this. We have become more open about how our rules have been created and how they look and what they and why they are the way they are. We have journalists present at our meetings. If they have journalists present at their meetings, why have I never read a journalistic report about an inside Facebook meeting where they decide who to ban or not? I haven't read it. So either they had journalists who had signed a non-disclosure agreement, which as far as I'm concerned are not journalists, or this is rubbish. We have journalists' presence in our meetings where these things have been decided, and we are also in the process of implementing some measures that will, how shall I put it, ensure greater legitimacy around these decisions. Well, again, Lottis pushes him again. Well, in this case, it is a question of jurisprudence. To the extent that you are the common infrastructure for our common communications, so where can either of the, either those who have been banned or journalists who have to hold those in power accountable, where can we go to investigate these situations? And then they go into actually a debate back and forth about whether Facebook is the platform for the public discourse or just a platform. I mean, this is a nitpicking argument here. Facebook is huge. Facebook's bigger than all the others. So yes, to a certain degree, it is the platform. And they go on. Again, she's asking, who else is on this list? And he, you know, yes, and that is a big responsibility. That is what could be called the platform. And that is something we take very seriously. So she asks, so how is it possible to investigate you? Well, as I said, this concrete list is not public. That list of those who, besides Tommy Robinson, are completely banned. Well, we know it's probably Alex Jones, Milo Yiannopoulos. There are a few others in mostly or almost exclusively conservative US circles who are banned. And it's a totally opaque process. It's as open to the world as Stalin deciding who to send to the gulag or kill. And she asks, is Hitler on there? Is Pol Pot on the list? He doesn't know. Facebook spokesman doesn't know. So he doesn't know whether you can praise Hitler but not Tommy Robinson on Facebook. I believe that you can praise Hitler. Routinely I see it, or I used to see it when I was on their platform. If somebody flags it, it would probably get taken down, but it isn't automatic like the removal of Tommy Robinson's name is. Then they go on into a very strange part, which is also important, talking about who makes these decisions. Is it just Facebook employees? No, it's not Facebook employees. It's Facebook employees in cooperation with external experts. And what I'm pretty sure we mean here is, in the US sense and in the UK, in the US, it will be the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League, both far-left organizations, Soros money, and very ideologically against liberty, freedom, and freedom of speech, and taking a reasonable view of the world. In the UK, it will be Hope Not Hate and other government-sponsored organizations, probably the Muslim Council of Britain even. These are all organizations that will be somehow have power over Facebook and have power over who to call an unperson. And we then get into a whole stretch because it's clear that Facebook have gone beyond illegal content. And what the spokesman is struggling with is the fact that there is no international definition that they can run with that is of hate speech. So we come now to this discussion around what is illegal content, what is hate speech. And let's just have a look here. Well, how can we in some way democratically ensure that we also gain access to that discussion and are heard And it's not just employees of Facebook who decide who is allowed to participate. This is Lotta's question. And the answer, well, this is something that we have discussed at length. That's we in Facebook. How can we have another forum for legitimacy behind the rules that we have now that we are the ones who have made those rules because it is our platform? One of those things we have been promoting is that we have regulation in place, are actually out there asking to be regulated. Facebook wants governments to take this over because they know it's a complete mess in the area of illegal content when there aren't any definitions. And then this bit blows my mind. Universal democratic definitions of, for example, hate speech. Then we have to, because it's our responsibility to make those so the platform doesn't get used for things that it shouldn't be used for. But clearly, it would have been better if there had been a political process and there had been democratic legitimacy. And we end up in a place where the rules that are openly legitimate because they are regulated politically instead of just coming from some American company. They're desperate. They don't know how to do what they're setting out to do. I'll finish with something that we have from Zuckerberg that came out actually last night. And the basic problem is that they're trying to do the impossible. And it all stems from this notion of what is hate speech. Hate speech will destroy Western civilization. Not the speech itself, but the crackdown on it. The destruction of free speech because you're worried about something called hate speech. We have gone down a slippery path, and the unpersoning of Tommy. So he is not allowed to present a defense. He has been destroyed. Now, the same thing they're trying to do to Trump. Trump starts from a very different position, and as president of the United States of America, he's in a much better position to fight back than Tommy Robinson is. But what they are trying to do to him is exactly what has been done to Tommy Robinson, and it can be done to any of us. It can be done to anyone. It's terrifying. And this particular journalist asking these particular questions of a Facebook spokesman, I would give her all the awards in journalism, because for the first time somebody has got to the bottom of asking these questions. Just I'll read the last part that the Facebook guy says, because it relates to whether Tommy can ever get back onto Facebook. Well, yes, there are lots of examples of people who leave these very violent and hateful environments and simply change their lives. And of course, our rules aren't set in stone, where we stubbornly hold on to a many years old evaluation. If we have concrete evidence, documentation that this is a closed chapter, then of course, that would be something that we would have to reevaluate. This is Kafkaesque. They don't have any evidence of his hate preaching. They don't have evidence of the bad posts that he has supposedly made because they've never produced them. So how can he ever turn it around by proving that he is not the fake identity that they have cast him as? So I'll just end with this post that I put up today, which it's on Steam. And I just want to draw some points from this. This is from this leaked all hands Q&A of 2 hours that Zuckerberg did. And he was asked about this particular question. Here's the question. According to your policies, men are trash is considered tier one hate speech. So what that means is that our classifiers are able to automatically delete most of the posts or comments that have this phrase in it. Why? So Zuckerberg comes back and says the hate speech policies are the most fraught, as we know. The way he tries to work this out is, so substitute in your mind while you're thinking about this, though, what if it were Muslims are trash, right? You would not want that on the service. Interesting that he jumps straight to an attack on Muslims. the whole point of this is that Zuckerberg is struggling, and they're all struggling. Zuckerberg clearly is showing, from this article, he's showing signs of being woke, of following social justice warrior ideals, because he's struggling with whether it's okay to say all men are trash or all women are trash. He's struggling over the differences. And he does say in here that they have 30,000 people trying to make these calls and discuss whether or not posts should be taken down. And sometimes they make mistakes. Facebook is a total catastrophe. Their policies are catastrophic. And all I can say is, with a little plug for my other project, I really hope that our lawsuit against them for their banning of crypto advertising is the little Trojan horse that's going to take them from a strange direction. Because the way they've treated Tommy Robinson, the way that they've imposed their will on the world and are continuing to impose their will on the world, they are too big to exist. They must be destroyed. Broken up isn't enough. I don't believe that the world should have a single social network that connects so many people and that is under the control of one man in California. I'm Brian of London. Thanks for watching this incredibly long video. I hope you derived some value from it. If you did, leave comments, leave likes, check out my website, throw some money in. Do whatever you like. Let me know, though, if this has been useful for you. Thanks very much, and see you the next time.